LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. Please join me in thanking Grammarly for sponsoring today's Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/fantasypros to get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. We've got a Week 14 DFS show for you today, and we're going to be talking with one of my favorites in the DFS industry, Doug Norrie. He's the owner of DFSR, and he's on Twitter at his name, Doug Norrie. Doug, how are you doing? Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, it's great. Looking forward to talking football, maybe some holiday movies. Let's get this thing rolling. I'm excited.
Tags, what's up, buddy?
Oh, nothing. Just Twitter on fire. I mean, the last time that I tweeted out like the office rankings of characters, like my mentions were on fire. And I figured that putting out a Christmas movie ranking list, that it wasn't going to be as bad, but it's been just as bad.
Right? Isn't it amazing? We were talking about it before the show about how I just posted my Christmas movie opinions. And, you know, obviously I have hot takes about everything, so I came out firing, but oh, man, my notifications are on fire right now. Doug, what is your take? What's your hottest Christmas movie take?
It really all depends to me where you put Die Hard. Like, if you think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, then it's one. But I can see why it could also just not be on the list at all. So I thought your list was pretty strong. I would probably just do some reseeding more than anything else, which is, like, not a complaint. But
yes,
it just really comes down to whether you think that one specific movie, if that's a Christmas movie, it's one. If it's not, then I'm pretty much on your stack here. I think it looks pretty good.
So for those of you who didn't see, I said that there's one worth watching every year. It's A Wonderful Life. Tags probably hasn't even seen it because he's so like hip and happening and stuff like that.
I've seen it as a kid. I've not watched it ever again, though.
Yeah, you really should. There's only one other movie worth watching more than one time, and it's Elf. And there's like three or four that were worth watching the first time, and the rest of them all suck. Most Christmas movies suck. I'd rather just watch sports, guys.
Dude, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is the best Christmas movie, hands down.
It was good. It was well worth watching one time. I don't want to watch it again. But that's like my number three Christmas movie.
Because ranking the holiday movies, kind of, now that you said that, it makes total sense. It kind of feels like ranking Thanksgiving food. It's like, well, it's just all bad. I guess we can all rank it together, but the list, these would never appear on another list. So,
right.
Like, they're only going to be on their own Christmas list. But when you start looking at the top 1,000 movies of all time, none of these.
Like, why do we have to watch 20 Christmas movies at Christmas time? I'm cool with watching three.
We don't have to. We usually watch like three or four during the month of December or something like that.
You know, the funny thing is, I've said a few insensitive and downright offensive things in my day, right? And I probably shouldn't laugh about it. I mean, I think we all have. Maybe a little more reckless than most because that's who I am. But never, never have I said something that made people more disgusted with me than when I came after coffee. You all are like Gollum with the ring in The Lord of the Rings. Like, Tags, I'd rather give up pizza for the rest of my life than be forced to drink coffee even two more times in my life. You guys are sick.
You are a child, Bobby. You are a child. We've already established this.
All right, guys, you ready to talk some DFS?
Ready. Let's do this.
All right, guys, so here's how it's going to work. If you guys haven't listened to this show before, maybe you're knocked out of the, you know, season-long playoffs and you're jumping on over to DFS, that's great. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be talking FanDuel and DraftKings today, primarily cash games. So for like the first 35, 40 minutes, we'll be going position by position and talking about players that are safe to put in your lineup because you need to beat out 50% or about 50% of the field in order to win cash in cash games. At the end of the show, the last 15, 20 minutes, we'll be talking GPP. That's the big tournaments. You need to take some risk, maybe do some team stacks so that you can win the big prizes because you have to beat out tens of thousands of people to win some really big money in those. At the end of the show, we'll give our lock of the week for cash games, the one player that we will definitely be having in our cash game lineups, and we'll give a stack of the week, a team that we like to stack, or a game stack for GPP contest this week. So guys, let's start at the running back position, and Christian McCaffrey over on FanDuel, $11,000. So we've got Derrick Henry behind him at $9,100. The number three running back is $8,700, Dalvin Cook. This is super expensive. Doug, are you paying for Christian McCaffrey?
It's so hard this week. The 11,000 on a week where there's not a ton. There's some value out there to definitely that helps open things up. Not as much as last week, I don't think. The matchup is good. I'm a little bit worried about the coaching change just because it's hard to imagine he gets more opportunity than he's been getting with a new coach. So that's my only, it feels like a very weird time to pay peak pricing on him. And at the same time, he really just isn't a category of his own when it comes to usage. So especially usage plus effectiveness, because there's a couple other guys that get usage but aren't as effective. So I don't think I'm going to do it in cash games. And if I saw that he was, if I, you know, at 1 p.m. clicked over and he was 75% owned, I'd feel very worried that I didn't have him. So I think that's where I'm going to land on him. 11,000 is probably just a bridge too far, though. But if you did it, I wouldn't. If you did, it's hard to blame you for doing it, though.
On DraftKings, it's 10,300, and because it's you get the full PPR on DraftKings, I think that makes a little bit more sense. Tags, I imagine you're using Christian McCaffrey, right?
I mean, yeah. If I can, it's again. This is the time of the week where it's like I haven't gotten down to complete roster construction yet because we just wait for so much news to come out because things will shift based on injury news like T.Y. Hilton.
Right. If Dalvin Cook's out, Alexander Mattison's suddenly the lock of all locks, and yeah, you can use Christian McCaffrey.
And then you could fit McCaffrey, no problem. So the answer is like, should you avoid McCaffrey? Absolutely not.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good way.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it because some people will be like, oh, I'm not going to pay $10,300. Well, he's hit value on that like quite often. I think like not 85% of the time this year he's hit that value. So I'm not going to cross him off or anything like that. It just depends on the injury news and if we could find some cheap wide receivers. I have some names to look at, basically just depending on what we hear throughout the week. So we'll go through that. But yeah, McCaffrey should definitely be on your roster if you're able to afford him.
Man, I really hope we get Alexander Mattison. I mean, I'd even think about playing Alexander Mattison in GPP if Dalvin Cook is active. I would think about him. But, you know, if Cook is out, then I've got my three running backs and there's no conversation to be had for me. I am absolutely locking in Devontae Freeman against Carolina this week. He's getting a ton of work in the passing game. He's getting sufficient amount of touches in the running game as well, but he gets Carolina. Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson slayed them last week. Everybody is slaying them. They're not even trying, and now they're missing their second best run defender as well. This is by far the best matchup to pick on for opposing running backs. Doug, are you using Devontae Freeman like me?
As of right now, our system has him in 100% of cash game lineups. And so the 6,000 price tag is where you can, specifically on FanDuel, you can, it's a pretty easy call, I think, outside of guys like, you know, if Madison appears here, and I think maybe that does change the landscape a little bit.
I'd still use both of them, no doubt about it. I mean, Freeman is the 26th most expensive running back on FanDuel.
The price is wrong. My only concern is we have year upon year upon year of Atlanta just not wanting to give. Like, there's so few guys at this point that are every down backs. There's really only two. It's basically McCaffrey and Fournette. But he's the fact that he played something like 70% of the snaps in the first game back, and Brian Hill was so bad.
And Freeman looked great, by the way. I mean, it was against the Saints, so we didn't have.
And it's funny, too, because at this point in the season, being injured for a running back probably is kind of helpful because you come back. I hate to use the word fresh, but we've seen, you know, look what guys like Rashad Penny all of a sudden like, oh, guess what? I just haven't taken a beating over the course of 14 weeks already. So I'm just am kind of good to go. I think there actually is a lot to be said for that specifically about the running back position. And Freeman fits that example and it looked every bit the part. And so I think that one position, if you can get these guys sort of fresh, that actually helps also make up for the fact that I always get a little bit worried about the Atlanta game plan, that they just want to feather in other running backs when they get the chance.
Sure. Tags, what do you think about Freeman? You using him?
He's locked into my cash game lineups for sure.
Atta baby. All right.
What's funny is, like, when you think about guys like Hugh Jackson, right? When he got fired midseason, you think about the players and it's like they're going to rally around each other and be like, oh, you know, we got rid of Hugh Jackson. It's the opposite with Carolina, right? Like, Ron Rivera is a very liked head coach. And I know it's a narrative thing, but this defense sucks in general. But taking away Ron Rivera isn't going to make them play any harder for you. Freeman, I mean, they're coming off a game where they allowed 242 yards and 3 touchdowns to the Redskins running backs, like Adrian Peterson, who's like, you know, 40 years old, and Darius Geis, who's just a couple weeks removed from his injury. So 22 touchdowns they've allowed through 12 games to running backs. I'm playing Devonta Freeman. Yes, I'm playing him. If you want to play him on DraftKings, FanDuel, wherever you're playing him, but he's one of those guys that's absolutely locked into my lineup.
He's 5,400 on DraftKings, which isn't the greatest price. He's still the 21st most expensive running back. Our consensus projections have him at 15th best running back of the week. Tags, I know you've got him in the top 12, though. I do as well.
Yep. I like Freeman a lot this week. It's just you get a floor with him. You get a ceiling. There's just nothing. There's nothing I don't like. If Brian Hill had played better in the absence, I would be a little bit more concerned, but I'm not.
All right, guys, I want to pause for just a second to tell you about Pristine Auction, because it's the perfect time to use Pristine Auction. If you're looking for gifts for anybody in your life that likes sports, you're going to be able to find something that they love for their cave at Pristine Auction. Everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources, and it's really easy to use. You sign up, it's free to sign up. You don't pay anything until you win. But when you sign up, use the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word. It's going to get you $5 off, and it's going to tell them that we're sending people their way. Right now, I'm eyeing this Christian McCaffrey signed mini helmet from the Stanford Cardinals. I think that would look great in my cave. And there's all kinds of values, because there's hundreds, sometimes even thousands of items that are auctioned off every day. So I'm always cruising around looking for values. Again, that's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. So who else are we considering using? Tags, well, I'm going to start with you, okay? Are you spending up on somebody else for your third running back? Are you considering a couple guys in the middle range? Do you have another cheap guy besides Madison that you love?
Not really cheap. I usually don't. I haven't been doing that this year because it usually bites you. So I've been sticking to like the mid-tier if I want to pay up for CMC or whatever. But two of the guys in the middling territory are Melvin Gordon at 6,400. Like him a lot. Jacksonville's been struggling so bad against the run recently.
Again, not struggling, just not even trying.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad for them, and we know that Gordon's the primary 1-2 down back where they use Eckler when they go in more pass-heavy formations, and I just don't think that's going to happen very often in that game. I just feel like it's a grindy game. They're just going to put Gordon out there. I like him a lot, and Kamara at 7K.
That's hilarious. I was going to say him, and I thought I was going to get trashed for it, but at that price, Kamara? I don't care who he's playing.
Yeah, even since he came back from his ankle injury, he's been getting 19 opportunities per game. The issue is not opportunity. Like, he's getting plenty of that, and the touchdowns are going to come. He hasn't scored since week 3, and he scored 2 touchdowns. Those are the only 2 touchdowns he's scored all year. We've seen him. There's a big enough sample size with Alvin Kamara and this Sean Payton offense to know that they're going to score touchdowns, and San Francisco's biggest weakness is on the ground. So if you get Kamara at 7K, again, you're getting a floor, and you're getting a guy that comes with a, you know, 2 or 3 touchdown ceiling.
We've seen him in 2 horrible matchups this season, both times against Tampa Bay. Alvin Kamara needs 17 fantasy points to hit value. In those 2 games, he had 17 and 22. It's Alvin Kamara at $7,000. Doug, on DraftKings, are you with us that Kamara would be a good play?
It's funny, but there's an interesting math problem, I think, that I'm kind of struggling with this week, which is how much the touches are worth and how safe they are. Because Kamara, so for instance, if you look at Leonard Fournette is really only behind McCaffrey in terms of usage, and it's been on, like, doesn't matter who the quarterback is, they've actually been throwing to him more lately. That actually helped, like 11 and 12 targets over the last 2 weeks, quarterback independent, even with toggling back between Minshew and Foles. So, but he's also obviously bad, right? So it's like, it's one of these weird math problems where it's like, well, if you think Fournette's going to touch the ball 30 times, is that more than the 19 that Kamara is going to get? And I think as of right now, I'd feel better about the Fournette touches, the volume of Fournette touches over the Kamara, how much better his touches are, if that makes sense. So I think I would default to Fournette now. And again, sort of like what I said with McCaffrey, that if I walked into this week and saw Kamara at like 65% ownership, I would feel worried. And I actually feel that way about a lot of guys right now, in a way that even on Thursday, I haven't felt this way, because I've been very locked into cash games this season about who I want to play. And it's a lot of times it's actually been off chalk. But this week, specifically around the running back position, mostly because there's about 8 guys I can make solid cases for all around the different price tiers. And sort of the one-to-one, Fournette and Kamara, because they're priced very similarly, this is one that I'm just kind of staring at and wondering, is it crazy to just lock in Fournette's touches, knowing that his touches are not nearly as good as Kamara's?
I think that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought up Fournette.
Are you worried about pace in that game? Like, so the Chargers opponents, they're averaging just 57 plays per game. And if there's obviously not that many, we're going to see fewer dropbacks. We're going to see just fewer plays altogether. That's my concern for Fournette. Obviously, Derwin James back.
Especially if the Chargers just run the heck out of the ball against Jacksonville, why wouldn't they?
Right, and that's basically my concern with Fournette. I still like him. I think that I wouldn't talk anybody off playing him. It's just trying to, like as you said, trying to decide between Fournette and Kamara. It's like, what game is going to net more plays? It's clearly the New Orleans game, and it's I know the opportunities have been there for Fournette, and I do like him. It's just you're paying $800 more for him, so if you need to save $800 in salary, it's quite significant.
By the way, San Francisco is right there with the Chargers in the pace piece. Like the Chargers are 57.3 opponents plays per game, and San Francisco is 58.2. So it's like it's not like you're getting outpaced with the Kamara. Like so, if you're going to use the pace thing, you can just as easily use it for the. It's pace down for both, I guess, is my point.
So isn't that based upon, though, the fact that San Francisco has run the ball? Like, their running backs had touched the ball, I think, like 35-plus times in 10 of 12 games. So it's almost like they just drained the clock. And against New Orleans, you can't do that. Like, you can't run the ball in New Orleans. That's why I don't think anybody likes Mostert this week. Nobody likes Coleman or Breida. And I think it's all because you cannot run the ball against them. And it's the same reason I like Emmanuel Sanders this week. So,
well, and because Jeff Wilson's going to get three touches for three touchdowns and, you know, all three of those guys are going to go to waste.
They do troll you with running backs pretty hard. The running backs,
yeah. Oh, they're the worst, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, Kamara, I think, is a good play on DraftKings. I think Fournette's a better play on FanDuel. I'm not using Fournette. I've got him as my number four running back if Madison is not the starter. If Madison is the starter, he's my number one, and then I would go Freeman. If Madison isn't the starter, I would use Fournette in my lineup. But guys, tell me what you think about this. Talk me off the ledge if I'm being crazy, because we've got his ownership at 1.5% right now. But I'm using Sony Michel against the Kansas City Chiefs.
In cash?
I was about to say James White.
Yeah, I'd say James White over Sony. I like Sony this week, but there is no way in hell I'm playing him in cash.
I am living or dying with Sony Michel this week against Kansas City. What do the Patriots do when they go up against the Chiefs? They run the heck out of the ball with Sony Michel. That's what's going to happen, guys.
Man, well, see, I was going to go the other way because I wanted your opinion on James White because, and I guess you just gave it to me, so we can probably move on.
I like James White too, man.
Because the White thing, he's coming off just such a monster week, but it's like death taxes and not being able to figure out what the Patriots are doing at running back. Because just when you think a guy...
Except against the Chiefs, it's Sony Michel.
Because just when you get a guy, like every year we get these examples of the guy breaks out and they just use him, they use the hell out of him in a game. And White had a good season last season and has had, but he had such a huge week last week. And I get they were playing from behind. So you think Michel is safer than White? Because I, from like, especially on PPR, I kind of want to play only James White in cash. So that's why I'm just surprised to hear the name.
If I had to bank on anyone besides Christian McCaffrey scoring a touchdown this week, I'd put all my money in on Sony Michel.
Wow.
I like Sony. He's on my tournament list. I would not play him in cash. I would rather play. I actually have White on my list as a guy. If you really wanted to save some money at 5,500, I'm okay with it. Bill Belichick, the reason, and I understand your logic, Bobby. Bill Belichick, he's the best coach of all time for simple reasons. He attacks your weakness, and he's willing to do that. And that's why against the Texans, they went through the air, and the Texans had really struggled against pass catching running backs all year, and they attacked that part of the field with James White. He did really well, obviously. The Chiefs. That is their weakness. They have not been, their perimeter corners have been really good. They've been burned a little bit up the middle of the field. So I do expect Julian Edelman to get quite a bit of work as usual. But yeah, when they played in the playoffs, Sony Michel just absolutely crushed this team last year. And getting Isaiah Wynn back was big. And we've seen him average, I think it's been over 4 yards per carry the last 2 weeks. So the Patriots, Bill Belichick knows better. You don't go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes with the way that Tom Brady's playing. So they should keep the ball on the ground. But Sony not being involved in the passing game, there's no way that I could trust him in cash. Like, because if for whatever reason Mahomes does come out and does what Deshaun Watson did, all of a sudden Michelle is game scripted out and you're screwed. So why not go with James White, who is $100 cheaper on DraftKings, a guy that... if they're ahead, he's still going to get some work because they're not going to abandon passing altogether. And if they fall behind, he's obviously the nut play. Like, he's going to get tons of work.
That's why I wanted to bring it up with you guys, because if I was missing something, and the game script is a possibility that would really screw me over. I've seen that happen earlier in this season where I rely too much on a certain game script. You know, the Patriots being up, Sony Michel running the ball. It's questionable, man. I might have to go with Fournette. So is there any other running back that you guys like? Philip Lindsay, our model is shooting him out as a great value on DraftKings. Over on FanDuel, Derrick Henry, even at 9,100, comes in as the best value play. What do you guys think about that, Doug?
I'm always trailing the industry on Derrick Henry for the years, and it's mostly just because he just doesn't project for enough use in the passing game. That's all that I can. It's a strict one-to-one for me about why our projection is always going to be low. Our projections always favor usage over, like, let's say, touchdown equity. So, and that is where we've sort of trailed on Henry's just overall, especially his peak games, because when he scores in absolute bunches.
So he averages 165 rushing yards over the last month.
That's what I mean. It's crazy. I just probably will do another week where I don't do it. I've talked about this a lot this morning on other podcasts, but Henry's one of these guys where I totally get it. I can totally see the ownership being high. Our system's just not going to get there. And it's mostly because he just doesn't. It's hard to project him for peak carries every single week. And when you can't hedge against some of the downside with some of the targets, then I know our specific numbers are not going to get there on him. And I can't blame you for doing it. So that's kind of like my case for why I'm rarely on the Derrick Henry cash train. But I also understand that not everyone models it exactly that way. And if you model like for sort of peak games, then especially if you model like really well for touchdown equity, then I could see why you would play him. But I just don't do that. So I'm not going to play him in cash.
Tags, what do you think about Derrick Henry, Philip Lindsay? I guess you play more on DraftKings, so what do you think about Philip Lindsay?
Lindsay's fine. He's not exciting. And it's like we just talked about a lot of running backs that I like quite a bit more. It's just you talk about the lack of offense. We've seen Drew Lock for one game. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that he's going to be the franchise quarterback that people thought he might be, because he didn't look particularly great. Cortland Sutton made some great catches last week. So if he stalls, the offense stalls, and I don't know. I just don't feel great about that entire offense. It's like tying yourself to the Jets. It's not a great thing. So I would rather tie myself to offenses that I know are going to score some points. And but yeah, Derrick Henry, for him, I mean, he's a better play, obviously, on FanDuel, but he's quite pricey. And there's a lot of sharp guys. You know, Doug's one of those guys. We had Holka on the other week, and I've heard multiple sharp dudes say that they just don't play Derrick Henry very much, and they're okay with that. And, you know, does it bite them at sometimes? Yeah, it does, but other times. But these guys have played long enough to know basically what they're looking for in a running back, and knowing Derrick Henry is very, he's not involved in the passing game very much. It does hurt his overall projection, and it's like we talked about with Sony Michel. If the game script were to go south, do we expect Oakland to bounce back at home? I mean, the team has looked really bad the last couple weeks, but it's possible against a banged up Tennessee secondary.
Can I just, let me phrase it one more way, because I think that this actually, Tag saying it, maybe think about, if you don't mind, if I can just say this real quick. Is that in cash games specifically, what you are trying to mostly do is protect yourself against downside risk. And when a guy has a profile that only does one thing, you leave yourself really open to the risk that thing doesn't happen. You talked about game scripts before biting you. And so what you're trying to find is guys who are going to be game script independent. And there are a list of these guys, and they might not have as high a ceiling as a guy like Henry when he scores, but the fact that they just touch the ball in all different ways makes them so much safer. This is what I meant about Fournette, right? It's like there's no scenario where Fournette doesn't play 99% of the snaps. He just does every single week, right? There are scenarios where it doesn't happen for Henry. They're playing from behind. Like there's just, and he's just not going to be part of the game in a way. So that's mostly, I think, why people don't land on these guys, is because you just don't have enough protection on the other thing happening. Like McCaffrey's, this is why McCaffrey's so safe, by the way, too. So like that's, but he just,
like at the very worst, Christian McCaffrey's hitting 2x value. Okay, maybe he won't get to 2.5x, but.
Exactly. He's going to touch the ball 25. The ball's going to just travel in his direction or be handed to him 25 times, like at almost the minimum. So, and no matter which way the game is going. One guy I wanted to get your, it's sort of along those same lines. Like, what do you guys think about Le'Veon Bell? Great matchup. Got the snaps all pretty much back last week and stinks in like real life, but
he had 14 touches against Cincinnati. He had 17 against Oakland. If he was going to smash, I think it would have been those weeks. Like Miami, okay, it's a little bit better of a matchup, but Cincinnati can't tackle at all, and Gay still didn't give him the ball.
What's the difference between Le'Veon Bell and Joe Mixon? That's basically my question. I know Miami's a slightly better matchup, but the touch count, I think we could say it's very similar. The offenses are both crap.
They're both really dang good at football, man, but their offenses are horrible.
And yeah, they're both good. They're similar running backs, actually, but $1,400 savings on Mixon.
Yeah, so Mixon's interesting too because the Bengals have done this weird thing where it says, oh, we're going to lose by a lot. Who cares, dude? You're still going to touch the ball 23 times, 24 times. And like, we're still going to run the ball with you.
And they finally involved him in the passing game last week, which is amazing because he's one of the best pass catching running backs in the NFL.
Yeah, like we're getting dumpstered by Ravens. No problem. Here's 30 touches. Here's 30 carries. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't, like, it doesn't, it was, it's so weird. He's actually one I have a hard time projecting because of that, because it doesn't fit the normal flow. Like, we've done a lot of studies on Vegas and how it informs running back usage. And you basically, it's like home favorite. Favorites are the way to go. And so like that's kind of where Bell lands for me. But Mixon's one of the ones where I've said, well, I think I'm going to take this multiplier off for him because they don't seem to care what's going on in the game like other teams do. And so we have these numbers.
I think you might want to remove it for Bell too because Adam Gase is just an idiot.
Yeah, it's so weird. So anyway, we've been really trying to hammer as much ownership against Miami for this whole year. It's basically worked out. And even at under-owned guys, more a quarterback than at running back this year. But that's what kind of, they're 5-point home favorite. So that's kind of why I wanted your guys' opinion on Bell.
All right, we'll get right back to the football in just a second. But first, thanks to Grammarly for supporting our podcast. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. They encourage everyone, even the best students and top professionals, to use Grammarly to do their best work and accomplish even more of their goals. I've been using Grammarly since even before I was an analyst at Fantasy Pros. I'll be honest with you, I never realized how much of a train wreck my grammar and spelling were until I started using it. Frankly, having Grammarly on my side may have been the difference between being noticed for this job or still working my boring old IT job. I had a really serious issue with being concise, and Grammarly Premium helped me to kill that. Look, I don't care how smart you are. Grammarly's going to make you improve yourself while looking and sounding smarter. You can show your best self across a number of platforms, including the online browser extension, the desktop editor, and a mobile keyboard checker. It works with Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Edge, iOS, Android, Windows, and Mac. And the free version checks your spelling and grammar, but the premium version, listen to this, it's incredible. It adds advanced punctuation, style within context, helps with your vocabulary, your conciseness, as I mentioned, readability, and even your structure. Accomplish your goals with the help from Grammarly and stop making those email typos on your phone. Close more deals at work this year with your emails or polish your resume to get a great new job just like I did. Go to Grammarly.com/fantasypros to get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's Grammarly.com/fantasypros for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. I've got two more quick questions, okay? First of all, are there any running backs missing that we haven't talked about that you would consider decent plays? And number two, are there any running backs that you expect people to be using in cash games that you want to warn them off? Doug, do you see any for either category?
Patrick Laird, man. Kalen Ballage is on the IR. Laird, another one of the, what do you do with running backs on bad teams that also catch balls? Like, he touched the ball 15 times last week. Ballage is done. The Jets are good against the run, so that's a problem. And he had 10 carries for 5 yards, so he's not exactly good. But but this is another one of those weird math problems where I'm like, well, if you give him 15 touches on DraftKings, especially if 5 of those are targets, all of a sudden that $4,100 price tag looks like something that might not kill you, right? And so he's one, and it's also funny about him too, because for a couple weeks he's been getting this weird Twitter buzz where people have just sort of like, I think it started as a joke more than anything else, but then it kind of turned into a real thing and then people actually kind of wanted to play him. So I think his name is actually a little bit more known than it really probably should be. And at the same time, I actually think he has pretty good opportunity now. He's one guy that I have a question mark sort of, let me look into this as we get closer to Sunday sort of note on, but he's one of them.
Like, if there's a wide receiver at his price who you said, okay, he's going to get 4, 5, 6 catches. Oh, wait, and he's going to get 10 carries. You would start him.
Well, right, but the running back slots are just so much more valuable, though.
Right, exactly. Yep.
And that's the problem. So, like, you are sacrificing actual real safety with... Because at some point... Well, again, if, like, Madison plays, then whatever, then this is...
There's nothing safe about the Dolphins.
Exactly. Right. And so all of a sudden, if you sacrifice a whole, it's not like sacrificing your tight end slot where you say, okay, well, that's always a sacrifice. And this is a situation where if I'm going to sacrifice a real play, like if I was going to pay up a wide receiver, get rid of Devontae Freeman and go down to Patrick Laird, then I'm actually probably making a bad cash decision. But at the same time, if Patrick Laird ended up touching the ball 20 times, then there's a world where he outperforms. You know what I mean? So, like, there is this weird... I feel this is what I kind of meant about running backs at the beginning was I feel unsure about the opportunity more this week than I have any other week of the year. And it's weird to be this far down the line to feel that way, but that's kind of how this week is shaking out.
Tags, any running backs you want to warn people off?
No, not really. I mean, Aaron Jones is a little bit risky for cash. I love him for tournaments, but I mean, people might play him in cash at 6,700, but it's just, there's so many different ways that.
I feel like people are going to still play Eckler in cash games because he was great last week and a couple of the last weeks, but he's been fairly risky too. I mean, there's a couple of weeks where he got 5 touches.
He's due for some serious regression in the touchdown category.
Yeah, right. I would agree with that. So I agree, Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, I would avoid them. Guys, let's go to the wide receiver position. And it's not as exciting this week. Fortunately, I'm going to have some money to spend if I'm not using Christian McCaffrey. So I'm fine spending up at wide receiver this week, but we've got Michael Thomas against San Francisco. So who are we spending up on if we are spending up, Doug?
Well, I'm not really. I've been another sort of thing that I personally have done this year to pretty good success is really not spending up in wide receivers ever except for Michael Thomas. I've not been in the mode of doing this because some have been injury and some of it's just been the way slates have shaken out. So like some of the top wide receivers just haven't played in the slates, but weeks where Julio Jones saw huge ownership, we were so far off of that chalk. It worked out, but there's just been a group for me. There's a group of wide receivers in the mid tier that are actually just consistently mispriced. We can go there next. So I guess my long,
like, let's go there. DJ Chark is one of them, right? Devontae Parker is another every week.
DJ Moore is one.
DJ Moore. Yeah, exactly. I use those three guys like 70% of the time.
Since Allen took over quarterback, DJ Moore is the third most targets in the league. He's got the most red zone targets. Now it hasn't really, it has worked out really well in the last two weeks. And it has not worked out crazy great the other ones. But if you just want to, look at price opportunity, and then what the ownership has been, because in the end, the price doesn't go up because the ownership has been pretty low, except it's just, I've written this guy up 7 straight weeks. And so I just don't really understand totally like why people don't talk about him more. I guess it's just because he's just not a flashy name. Like he's not Mike Evans and Godwin.
Well, because they've got Christian McCaffrey and their quarterback is Allen, but it doesn't matter. He's producing. And the same with Devontae Parker. Like since week 6, he's been the number 2 fantasy football wide receiver behind just Michael Thomas. And he's still really cheap.
Yeah, he's the other one. It's this group of Moore, Parker. I throw Tyler Boyd in there too because Boyd is actually a top target guy when Andy Dalton is the quarterback. The weeks where Andy Dalton has been the quarterback, Boyd's like the 4th most targeted wide receiver in football. Look, you have some efficiency problems with these guys. I get it. But that's also the reason they live in the $6,000 to $7,000 range. So this is where I've just lived in cash games for weeks is this range.
You won't say Chark though in this range? Because he's my favorite FanDuel play, $6,200.
No, he doesn't fit that group for me. Just because I don't think the targets are locked, like 5, 6, 15, 9, 12 over his last 4 weeks. If you look at the guys that we mentioned before, like Parker,
he gets Gardner Minshew back though. Look at him with Gardner Minshew, 9, 5, 8, 11, 7, 4, 12. I guess, yeah.
But one of those, 2 of those weeks, I think Didi didn't play, so I need to go back and look at that one. So he would probably be in that group, but there's not much of a consistent track record for me to feel as good about it. But like I said, there's this group, Parker, Boyd, Moore. There's this group of middle tier guys who just don't get priced up enough. Edelman at 7,000 on the DraftKings, the guy just gets 14 targets. Like, I don't know what the guys need to do to be priced higher. So I think that's sort of where I've been living.
Did you guys see that stat that Edelman and Brady have never lost a home game to an AFC opponent 42-0 in the regular season?
Did not see that. That's crazy.
That is incredible.
I think DJ Chark is bad chalk, by the way, because a lot of people are talking about playing him. I don't get it. So the Chargers, all year long, they've allowed 6 wide receivers to finish better than the wide receiver 29. Like, Casey Hayward is going to be covering DJ Chark. That's going to happen.
He's priced as wide receiver 29, by the way.
And those numbers, by the way, were without Derwin James, too. Like, the Chargers, again, I talked about their opponents limiting production. DJ Chark is... I like him as a player, and I think he's fine, but I'm worried about the target count. I'm worried about the floor with him because he's finished, I think, outside the top 70 wide receivers in 2 of the last 3 games. Again, Foles did play for 2 of those, but Foles also played in the game that he kind of went off against the Colts. So I just think it's inconsistency overall in the offense and the passing game. And when you're at 6,200, there's better. I would play Odell Beckham 100% before I would play DJ Chark.
Holy cow. Odell Beckham, 6,800?
He's 6,300 on DK.
That was actually, you just reminded me of the other guy that I was going to mention in this range was Jarvis Landry. Like Jarvis Landry's targets over the last 5 weeks, 11, 13, 7, 10, 13. Now, again, these guys...
He's up to 7,200 on FanDuel, though. I'm not touching him on FanDuel.
They are, but the prices have come up a little bit, but I guess what I'm, I guess my meaning is there's a group of these guys in this middle range that don't have the name cachet because one, they weren't like high picks in your season long draft, right? They didn't start off as high priced wide receivers, and sites have taken like tugboats turning, figuring like getting these guys to recorrect on what the prices should actually be on some of these, on some of these wide receivers, because the ownership continues to be high because they're such big names. But there is this other group that we've just basically mentioned that, again, have as many targets in the whole league. And when you're talking about cash games, you have to bank your targets. You don't, you can't bank your touchdowns. You have to bank your opportunity. And so, and maybe the touchdown equity is not as high on some of these guys, but again, there's just a list of guys that are essentially double digit target on lock guys every week. And they just are all pretty affordable. So I think that's kind of like my filibuster. I know I'm going really long with this, so I'm sorry about that. But that's kind of, sort of like my overall theory about wide receivers at this point.
Tags, I've got a guy, double-digit targets, 5 straight games, 10 receptions, 7, 7, 7, 6. And that was against some difficult matchups. This week, he has Washington. You playing Davante Adams?
Davante Adams, if I'm paying up, that's where I'm going. I mean, Michael Thomas at 8,300 is not a bad play at all, but I think Adams is the safer play. Rodgers, it's almost like Breeze locks on to Thomas, Aaron Rodgers locks on to Davante Adams, and they have kind of backups playing everywhere. I mean, that secondary, you can kind of attack him in any way that you want. So Davante Adams at 8K, he's the Packers wide receiver you could always expect to lead them. And it's kind of, it's the same with Michael Thomas, but it's just all about the matchup here. The only thing you have to worry about when you start talking about guys like that are playing up north, you have to start talking about weather. So it's like an important disclaimer that we should probably put in the DFS show is that, you know, when we talk about these players, we don't know what the weather is going to be like. Obviously, they play in Green Bay, so things can change really quick with whether or not I would play Davante Adams. But if you want to pay up for a wide receiver and the weather, there's nothing crazy going on with the weather, I think Davante Adams is the play.
All right, guys, we've obviously got a lot more to talk about, but first I want to tell you about a new website that I absolutely love, and I can't wait for all you guys to get on there and start competing with me. What are you waiting for? How baller would it be if you could win $25,000 a month from betting on sports without having to risk a single penny? Sparlay, patent pending, is the first ever peer-to-peer sports betting platform. It's 100% free. I'm not joking. There's no fees at all. It's literally free to play. There's no chance to even like put in a credit card. Sparlay's CEO is just that dumb. He just wants to give away $25,000 a month to sports bettors, I guess. Why do Vegas odd makers get to be the ones who create the lines, spreads, over-under, and the odds associated with it? That's bull. Sparlay is putting the control back with the sports bettors, giving you the ability to create your own bets and odds. Instead of going up against a bookie or a sports book, you get to go up against other users. If somebody offers you a dumb bet, you take it and take the money, right? You decide which bets you want to make and take.
I'm not a big gambler, but I know sometimes we'll be talking about games and I'll bring up the fact of like, why are they favored by only 3 points or whatever? I'm like, I'd be willing to take them at 6 points. This site actually lets you do that.
Yeah, so Tags can be like, okay, I'm putting the Cowboys at -5 this week. And here's the thing, like, Tags, you don't have to be a gambler, man. 100% free. There's no fees at all. It's literally free to play. On the first of each month, each user is going to start out with 100 Sparlay tokens. At the end of each month, the user with the most Sparlay tokens is taking home 25 grand. You run out of tokens? No biggie. You get an extra 100 Sparlay tokens for each user you refer. In fact, that's how I'm in first place right now. My bets really haven't been that great, but I sent out the referral code to a couple of my friends. They signed up. Guys, it's that easy. If you guys don't join the site, I'm going to be the one taking home the 25 grand. Sign up now, get a feel for the platform, invite your buddies, get some extra tokens. The first official month started already December 1st. Signing up takes 30 seconds, and as I mentioned, it's 100% free. You literally have nothing to lose and $25,000 to gain. Go to playsparlay.com right now and sign up. Stop giving away your hard-earned cash to bookies. Bet for free at playsparlay.com. And bring home the $25,000 grand prize. But actually don't, because I want to win it. Did we mention it's 100% free? Go to placebarley.com and win fat stacks of Benjamins with no risk. Remember, all new and current users can jump to first place just by referring 20 users with your unique referral link. Head over to placebarley.com and get in on the action. That's play, S-P-A-R-L-A-Y.com. So, Tex, who else do you like at the wide receiver position? Doug and I both talked a long time. It's your turn.
No, Edelman at 71, like, you play him. You don't really think about it, especially on DraftKings. Him and Beckham are my two, like, locks in cash right now. And I was hoping that you guys would talk to me about some, like, cheap wide receivers because I'm kind of going back and forth. Curtis Samuel at 4,900. Don't mind him. He's been seeing a lot of targets, but Kyle Allen just sucks. He can't throw the deep ball. But the really deep one I'm going to bring up, and I might be out of my mind for even thinking about it, but Paris Campbell at 3,200 at Tampa Bay. You know, the Colts aren't going to be able to run the ball in Tampa Bay. Nobody does. T.Y. Hilton sounds like he might not even play again this season, so I'm going to assume that he's out. Zach Pascal has been very inconsistent, and then when T.Y. Hilton's been out of the lineup, Pascal was seeing targets. Like, he's one of the guys, he saw 8 targets against Oakland back in week 4. It's not like a soft tissue injury he's coming back from, so I don't really worry so much about him like, you know, you would some receivers coming off a multi-week injury. But at 3,200, is it worth considering Paris Campbell?
It's not going to kill you in a cash game. He's not one of my favorites, though. I could see it.
I don't mind it because, one, you're... Zach Pascal was the guy I was going to bring up because he actually did see a lot of targets last week. And without Ebron there, and they didn't use Molly Cox in a way that I thought they would. So
Rodgers is out this week too, so it's like there's so many players.
Right. So there's stuff to go around there. Like I said, I was going to go Pascal here because of just that was like a 1 week sample size thing, and so that would be my opinion on it. And it does feel a little risky because it's so hard to get. I love Doyle. We can talk about tight ends later, but it's outside of with the receiver specifically with Brissett. If they're not named Hilton, I do feel a little bit like I'm kind of out in the wind, not knowing exactly what their plan is.
What if I told you there was a guy who already has 778 receiving yards? He's a great red zone weapon, and he gets one of the worst defenses in football, Jacksonville, this week, and he's $4,500 tags. Mike Williams. Can we use him in cash games?
I don't think they're one of the worst. I think they're a tough matchup. They just got done shutting down Mike Evans, who's a similar type receiver to Mike Williams, right?
They had a pretty good game, but I mean, overall, if you look at the last month, Jacksonville secondary's not even been mediocre.
I think that it's a game that I could see Keenan Allen kind of going off because it seems like DJ Hayden, their slot corner, might miss this game. But yeah, AJ Boye is probably going to be covering Mike Williams for majority of the game. I don't mind Williams at 4,500. I mean, like, he's priced down, but Rivers hasn't played very well. Williams hasn't played very well for the majority of the season. He hasn't scored touchdowns. I know that's going to fix itself at some point.
I mean, he's got 55 plus receiving yards in each of the last 5 games.
He saw like 3 targets in 2 of those games, though. And that's what Doug's saying is, like, it's almost like when you're playing a receiver like Auden Tate last week. I liked him at 3,800 because he was a guy that he's seen at least 6 targets in like every game that he's played. And it's like, that's what we're paying for when we go down to those cheap receivers. So that's why it's like it's really tough for me to get to Mike Williams in a game that I expect them to be extremely run heavy.
Mike Williams, too. It's funny because you mentioned that when I run the top 50 lineups, Mike on DraftKings, Mike Williams comes into the second one. But he's also just the kind of guy that when I'm really staring it down at the end, he's 4,500 for a reason. And you are kind of going boom or bust on him. And so but I know our system right now is wanting to sort of live in that world, like where it's Mike Williams is just like Jacoby Myers idea here at 3,500. Yeah, like he's another one where it's like, well, can I live with it? And I might be staring at a zero when the day's over. And that's not exactly.
Why don't we go back to Auden Tate then?
The inconsistency is unbelievable with Tate. He just can't see. I can never figure out if it was. I think for a long time it was positive that it was just Dalton. I watched a highlight video at one point that was just showing here are the 13 balls that Andy Dalton threw to Auden Tate, and it's just like one of them was catchable or something like that. So it was like it was some unbelievable. You just couldn't even. You thought you were watching a horror show. You couldn't believe how off these throws were. So I can't really tell if it's a Tate thing or a Dalton thing. So and I suspect it's somewhere in between. But these guys. It just feels so bad. They're all good GPP plays for this reason, I think. But from cash, it's really, I think you just have to probably lock up a higher floor. But at mean projections, I see why they're coming into even our system. I kind of get it, and I just probably don't want to be there.
Yeah, and Tate, like, so he every week, so he's played 7 games as a starter with Andy Dalton. He's totaled at least 50 yards and or a touchdown in every game. So the floor has been there. There's only been one game with Dalton where he's finished with fewer than 50 yards. And when you're playing him at 4K, you're essentially, if you get anything more than 10 PPR points out of him, you're excited. And Cleveland, it sounds like Greedy Williams might be out for that game. We expect game script to be obviously in the favor of the Cincinnati passing game. So at 4K, it's almost like trying to figure out between Mike Williams and him. And you save $500, you go down, you get a higher target floor. You might not get the ceiling you do yardage-wise with Mike Williams, but it might be a little bit safer.
All right, guys, I've got three more names I want to run by you really quick. Tags, I'll do you for DraftKings. Doug, I'll do you for FanDuel, okay? Christian Kirk against Pittsburgh. Tags, our model has him as the number one value because he's 5,200. Jamison Crowder at home against Miami, just $5,300. And I guess the other guy I was going to mention, you've already talked about, Curtis Samuel, $4,900. They're not exactly cheap, but they're nice values. Do you like any of them?
I think Samuel would be the best play for me of that group just because he's the cheapest, if I'm not mistaken. Kirk, the matchup isn't good. And I explained on the start or sit episode that basically Christian Kirk's been worse with Kyler Murray than he was with Josh Rosen. It's really weird to say that and think that, but the matchup against Pittsburgh is a tough one. He's going to see Joe Hayden a lot of the time, I think about 60-65% of the time. So it's not a great matchup for Christian Kirk. I'd go Samuel and just like, because I think he gives you the higher ceiling this week.
All right, Doug, and for you on FanDuel, I've got three more names. Now, we didn't talk about cheap guys on FanDuel. We talked about them primarily on DraftKings. So it doesn't seem super cheap, but on FanDuel, this is fairly cheap. A.J. Brown, 5,400 against Oakland. We've got Marquise Brown at Buffalo, but he's 5,500. He's the number one receiver. Maybe you could say Mark Andrews for Lamar Jackson. And then the other one that I want to go to here is under $5,000, Kelvin Harmon against Green Bay, 4,800. Do you like any of these names, or is there another cheap name that you like on FanDuel?
I just, the first two, Brown and, well, both Browns, is that you're buying receivers whose teams just don't want to ever throw. It's so troubling too. It's not like a real world troubling. DFS troubling. There's real problems in the world. This isn't one of them. But it's just that Marquise Hollywood Brown comes out of the gate and looks every bit like he's going to be a wide receiver one. There's some injury stuff, and then they show that their plan is just to run and throw to tight end. So I don't think I can be there. AJ Brown with Tannehill, the targets are just too low. They're
throwing 20 passes a game.
Yeah, they just say, that's what I mean. Like, if 20 passes is around the median, then I just don't. You have so little upside. You need everything to go right. And Harmon's just really not a guy on my radar personally. I know he's had some targets over the last couple of weeks. I was actually more interested in the guys that you mentioned.
Tons of air yards, too. Tons of them.
I get that air yards are a cool stat, and I like it for a lot of guys, but there's times where we're leaving off a part of it, which was not all air yards are borne out equally. And so,
So is there a cheap play that you like?
Well, I actually liked all the three guys that you mentioned the tags before. And I know they're not exactly cheap. I think Kirk was pretty chalky last week, which is weird, I thought, because he was getting Jalen Ramsey. But I actually like him in the bounce back only because he's so cheap. And the one thing we didn't mention about Samuel, too, is that I don't think Greg Olsen is going to play here. And so that does open up a not insignificant amount of targets. It's not a huge amount, but they don't go translate one-to-one to Samuel. So that's kind of like the only, you know, you can't give him all of Greg Olsen's targets or whatever. But that actually is sort of worth something. So on FanDuel, it's really hard to find cheap wide receivers on FanDuel because their pricing is all pretty much in the same zone. But I think probably that group, the 5,900 on Kirk, probably looks the most enticing.
All right, Tags, over on to quarterback. Is there one or two quarterbacks that you're fond of this week more than the others?
Yeah, if you're paying up, go to Lamar Jackson.
Even against Buffalo?
Buffalo, the weakness for Buffalo is against the run. Lamar Jackson's going to put up some, he's putting up points. In cash, he's the safe as they come. I'm not really too worried about Buffalo. And I think he's priced that way. Like, if Lamar Jackson was actually priced in terms of how he's been producing, he'd be, I think they would be charging $9,000 for him as a quarterback, and some people would pay it. It's almost like going back to Patrick Mahomes last year, where people were paying up for him because he was just dominating. And Lamar Jackson, you're getting a running back and a quarterback combined. And if you want to pay down, I would go down to Ryan Tannehill at 5,800.
Knew you were going to say that because of his rushing. I mean, but the question is the volume. Can we still trust him with that volume? I mean, it's a great matchup, but can we still trust him with maybe he gets 20 passes?
I think that volume comes up. The volume has been dependent on Derrick Henry running like a wild man. And if we expect the Raiders to at least put up a fight, and they've been a better run defense than I think people expected this year, then you're going to see Tannehill go through the air. And I've talked about the fact that quarterbacks playing against the Raiders have averaged Russell Wilson's production. So that's obviously a good thing. And Ryan Tannehill, whether people like him or not, you know, he's one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league right now. He's carried that team to where they're like a playoff contender now. And he offers a floor with his mobility. So at 5,800, he just saves you a lot of money. But again, I don't know if it's a slate you need to save. If you want to pay for McCaffrey, you probably do. But if you're not going to pay up for McCaffrey, you might not have to go down to Tannehill.
All right, Doug, who do you like at the quarterback position?
Yeah, Lamar's a lock. You mentioned him as a comparison to Mahomes last year. And it's funny because they don't profile the same, but statistically, statistically, in terms of their safety, so last year, if you looked at the graph of average points compared to the coefficient of variation, there was a group of players, and then Mahomes was sitting all the way to the right side of the graph, just all by himself. It's just this totally different tier than everybody else. And actually, Lamar Jackson this year sits in the exact same place. Now, it's for different reasons, because obviously he does different things, but he is easily, well, he's the best, at least on FanDuel, he's second on DraftKings, the best fantasy points per game player. And he's so much safer on a week-to-week basis than any other player. It's not even close. The next closest guy in terms of safety is not even the same tier as actually Josh Allen.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Like, Allen is, but it's for the same reasons, right? So the reason Jackson is such a good, not like I need to make this long case here for Jackson, but he's so good because there's no chance almost. He does both things. So if the one thing's working, he gets you all the points you need. And if that thing's not working, the other thing works.
What's his floor? 20 fantasy points?
Exactly. So you just, in a week where you can, you know, when we're talking about like cheap wide receivers or cheap guys, the other thing that we sort of ignored in that conversation was to say, if you go cheap, what is it buying you somewhere else? Because it's not cheap in a vacuum. If you go down from one receiver to another, you're saying, well, what am I going to use the extra $2,000 for? If it's the pay up for DeAndre Hopkins, well, I don't think I need to do that because that's not exactly safe. If the $2,000 extra gets you from Sam Darnold to, I don't know, I'm just throwing out a name, Sam Darnold to Lamar Jackson, of course you do it every time, right? Like, you take whatever the risk is somewhere else to lock in his fantasy floor. So does he always have the highest upside? No, well, a lot of times he does. But he's just so far and away the best cash game play that I really struggle to even make a case for other guys because I don't even want to. I'm basically telling everyone you have to play Lamar Jackson in cash games this week.
There's a lot of weeks where you can't pay up for Lamar Jackson. I mean, you can try. You might have to really sacrifice somewhere else, and a lot of people still do. This week, you can't afford him. So I say go out and get him. If you don't, I'm going Josh Allen, even against Baltimore, because he's just been so dang safe. All right, guys, we've got maybe, I don't know, 15 or 20 more minutes. But first, I want to tell you about a really easy opportunity to take advantage of. If you're a new user at BetMGM, you can place a $1 bet on the Patriots money line. And here it is, okay? If Tom Brady completes at least one pass, BetMGM is going to pay you $100 in free bets. Guys, it's essentially free money. The only stipulations are this. You have to be new at BetMGM, and you have to be physically located in New Jersey when you make the bet. You don't need to live in New Jersey, but you need to be there to make the bet. You can take advantage of this special offer at bettingpros.com/Brady. Again, that's bettingpros.com. That's our new website, /Brady. Visit betmgm.com for the full list of terms and conditions. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Guys, let's go to the tight end position. Doug, you already mentioned Jack Doyle. Is he a lock in your lineup?
Yeah. Definitely on DraftKings. It's probably a little closer maybe on FanDuel, but I don't probably in the end it won't be. There's a couple other guys like Darren Waller's out there. There are a couple cheap ways to go. Like, depending on what happens with Greg Olsen, I wouldn't be adverse to just throwing in like Thomas if he was just going to get the start and we knew.
$2,500 doesn't cost you anything, helps you so much elsewhere.
And $4,000 on FanDuel, which is a price you really never see. So that's actually the one place I would be willing to say at a position that's already so volatile and just, which is the code word for crappy. I'm happy to just get away from this as cheap as possible. Like last week, we rolled Doyle and Higbee double tight end on DraftKings because there are times where it makes sense to do it. But for the most part, I think I'm just probably locking, outside of crazy news, I'll probably just lock Doyle into cash games.
Doug, I do that all the time with the double tight ends, and you're like the only other person who's ever been okay with that. I love it.
Oh, man, I'll tell you right now.
Derek Carty loves it, too. Derek Carty does it like every week in cash games on DraftKings.
We talked to our subscribers on the morning of, and that was one that took a lot of explaining. I was like, look, man,
sure.
It is a math problem, and this math problem is going to... And then I just sat and stared at Higbee the entire time. Just said, please, God. I rarely do that because I often don't care. But I said, Doyle scores a touchdown first, then Higbee goes absolutely off, and I just did a little victory lap. But yeah, it is one of those math problems where this isn't going to be the week to do it. So I think that Doyle just offers more target safety than anybody else. He'd probably just do it.
Dags, if Mike Gesicki was cheaper, I'd use him with Jamal Adams out for the Jets, but he's not cheaper. So I'm using Jack Doyle, and I'm not even thinking twice. There's no one else in the conversation for me. Is that who you're using too? Can we get all three of us agreeing here?
I do love Doyle. He would be the one, but I mean, if you could pay up, Kittle is a solid play too. I like Kittle quite a bit this week, but
against New Orleans. New Orleans is really good against tight ends.
They have, but they've struggled a bit in their secondary in terms of what they've had to do, moving some people around. And Kittle is like, I've looked through their schedule.
He's not a prototypical tight end. Like, he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, there's been six tight ends to finish as a tight end 13 or better against them, and they've had one of the easiest schedules in football. So Kittle, it all comes back to the fact that I don't think that San Francisco is going to be able to run the ball on New Orleans at all. And I think they're going to rely on Garoppolo to win this game. And you kind of have to look at his receivers and pick one out and say, which one do you like? Because, or maybe even two. But Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle are the two atop my list.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because a lot of people are going to be worried. Well, last week he was playing on a broken ankle, two receptions for 17 yards. Is he really safe for cash games, Jags?
Yeah, I still think he is. I mean, we saw him come off the broken ankle already and perform at an elite level. So he's probably a better tournament play than he is cash. But that's why I'm saying I have Doyle as my cash game tight end. It's just more like, I think some people listening might be like, well, I have some value in it. What if I wanted to spend up? Which of those tight ends do I want to get? Kelsey has been, he struggled over against Bill Belichick ever since the first time they played against Kelsey. Bill Belichick, he's known to just take away your top option, and he's kind of viewed that as Travis Kelce, because Kelce has really struggled against them over like the last five meetings I think they've had. So I wouldn't pay up for Kelce.
All right, Doug, over to DST for cash games. Is this the typical week where it's just, okay, how much money do I have? Who are the best options there? That's who I'm using. Or is there somebody that you want in your lineup for sure?
Nah, it's always the former for me. It's just, this is the leftover part. This is the part, you're never getting points per dollar. Either safety or predictability in a way that is requisite that you get from any other position, even the worst positions. So for me, defense typically, at least for cash games, ends up becoming the sort of like this hold your nose. What does our system kind of pump out in terms of what the projection is compared to the price? So, I mean, there are some affordable-ish ones this week. Like, I don't mind the Steelers at 4,300, I don't think. I don't mind the Saints at 3,800. I get that there's...
Those are FanDuel prices, by the way. On DraftKings, it's a lot different.
Yeah, I mean, on DraftKings, we have the Redskins at 1,700. And so it's like, well, I hope they grab a sack or two and don't get dumpstered.
But we've also got the Colts at 24 against Jameis Winston.
He's in the second... they're in our second overall lineup, and it's the Winston interception things that are... He didn't throw an interception last week. But that's sort of where it is. It's like, can you just get by on an interception and a sack or two? He'll take some sacks, too. So at 2,400...
Yeah, Colts have 32 sacks, by the way.
It just never... ever really make, and I get the Patriots had this run of defensive stuff where they just outscored, you know, every running back basically in football, but it just never from a math perspective makes sense to try to project really top end production out of a defense, because there's really more ways for it to go wrong than go right.
Tex, who do you have at DST?
Yeah, it would be the Colts. They're the ones that I would be playing cash just because, like, they're the cheapest, 2,400. If you get a little bit, if you have 400 extra bucks, I'd go to the Chargers playing against Drew Lock. And if you have like all the money in the world and you're just looking to spend up, I'd go to the Packers.
Yeah, you mentioned the Steelers on FanDuel. I like them, Doug. I'm using the New Orleans Saints against San Francisco because they're going to have to pass so much. I don't think Jimmy G's really that great, and I think this New Orleans Saints defense is pretty good. So at 3,800, I like them quite a bit. Over on DraftKings for me, it's the Colts at 24. Yeah, I could use Washington at 1,700. Baltimore at 29, if you're in that price range, is a good bet against Buffalo.
Chiefs at 3,200 is interesting. The Patriots offense has not been great. I get that it's like a high total and stuff, but 3,200 is really cheap, and it's not like you're getting... It wouldn't feel great, and I don't want to just think, like you say, that Tom Brady's a Tom Brady of old, and this is like the old Patriots offense. They have not been awesome at times, so I don't know. That price I find to be interesting. I probably wouldn't end up doing in cash, but at some point you can say, hey, look, this is pretty cheap, and it might not totally kill me.
All right, Tags, GPP, let's circle back around. We're starting at DST. Give us a name that you think could get in the end zone.
I mean, the Cardinals at 2,400. I know they haven't really turned the ball over much this year, but they're playing a third-string quarterback. They're at home. They're 2,400. I mean, nobody's going to play them.
That's a great call, man. I like that one a lot. Doug, who do you have?
Defense in terms of tournaments, this is actually where you do kind of at times want to pay up, because this is the biggest struggle that people will have is like overpaying for a defense. And so you can get separation here. So from that point of view, I don't mind the Browns just against Andy Dalton. Like, this is still not a very good team. Even like, let's say the Vikings too, they're pretty expensive. So I hate to
like guaranteed for four sacks.
I hate to give the expensive ones, but I just know there's separation here because I just know that this is not exactly where people want to spend, because it doesn't feel good to make a worse decision somewhere else in your lineup. So Vikings, I like them against the Detroit here against the backup. I'm still willing to go defenses against Miami because I still don't think that's just a great situation. So the Jets at 4,100. Jets actually 4,100 is the closest one to say this is getting close to the cash game zone for me because of the matchup, and probably wouldn't end up doing it, but definitely for GPP.
Yeah, I was going to go Minnesota for my GPP call as well. Let's go to tight end for GPP. Tags, who are you looking at?
O.J. Howard, 3,200?
You're right, man. You are right. He's got a chance.
We talk about this all the time, though, that tight end, I typically don't veer off the guys that I like, so I'm going to have a lot of Doyle in tournaments. I'm going to have some Kittle. But Howard, if you 3,200, I mean, he's a guy, he's got one play upside. We talk about that with guys like Marquise Brown at wide receiver. So why not talk about it with Howard? He did see plenty of targets last week. He's playing, you know, his full complement of snaps, and, they need him essentially because he is part of their future. They know that. And when people say, oh, I'm writing off OJ Howard, the Bucks aren't. So I'm not.
Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on what's happening in Detroit with the tight end because Hockenson is out. And they have, Thomas and Jesse James, who both did play snaps on Thanksgiving. They didn't do anything, but also Hawkins had like the 11 targets.
Jesse James has had some decent games in his career.
Exactly. So these guys are both coming at pretty much the minimums. I just need to feel like I need to hear a little bit of news. Like Jesse James is at 4,000. I'm pretty sure Logan Thomas is at 4,002. So
yeah, if they get a touchdown, that's 3x value.
Look, the Hockenson opens up a lot of targets there. That's a lot of tight end targets. And that's a system where they've shown that they want to do it. And usually with tight ends, it's system over talent. That's kind of like my gut feeling on that more than maybe some hardcore evidence there. But so that's that situation. If I knew that one of these guys was going to play 60% of the tight end snaps, I'd actually almost take a risk in cash on their prices just because I do think there will be some opportunity.
Guys, I'm going to Austin Hooper. No one likes to play the guy coming off injury, but going up against Carolina, I could absolutely see Hooper having a huge game. And being the tight end one this week, I think his ownership's going to hover below 5%. And I'll take that on a guy who I think is one of the best tight ends in football.
Not a bad. Yeah, it would create some different lineup construction too. It's just like the defense thing. When you pay up for a defense, it forces you to do other things that you're not typically doing the rest of your lineup. So I think the same applies for tight ends because I think a lot of people are, I think Doyle is going to be super chalky this week.
All right, let's go wide receiver for GPP. Doug, you're first this time.
Yeah, I mean, he's been so good, and Julio Jones is coming back, but I still really like Calvin Ridley. And you mentioned Hooper. Now, if you think Julio gets the Bradbury cover, shadow coverage, Ridley has, to me, in a lot of ways, just emerged as just like their wide receiver one. I get that Julio is the bigger name. So it's a little weird because they're getting healthier around opportunity, like around Hooper and Jones. But, you know, 14 targets 2 weeks ago, 10 targets against New Orleans has shown big upside. And you know they target him. They want to go downfield with him toward the end zone. So I think people will be off it because, like I said, they're getting healthier. But I think he draws the best matchup of the group against the secondary. And I still think there's double-digit target upside for him, even with those other guys around.
Tags, do you have a couple names?
Terry McLaurin is someone that I like at 5,100. Kevin King is terrible, and he gets burned over the top a lot. There's a lot that allows for some big plays, and that's a game script that they're not going to be able to run the ball as much as they typically do with Washington. So I like McLaurin at 5,100 in tournaments, and one of my favorites is Chris Godwin at 7,300. There's a lot of wide receivers in that range people are going to pay for, and Godwin, you know, he's coming off a down week, so his ownership might be suppressed a little bit. And some people have said, like, basically make a lineup with Jameis Winston and Godwin and then make another one with Jameis Winston and Mike Evans and kind of just...
Right. You almost have to use Godwin or Evans every week in GPP.
And Indianapolis has been really struggling with wide receivers this year. Their secondary has not been good at all. So it's almost like you want to find someone there to target. And Godwin is just the safe... He's almost like a guy that is a safe option that comes with a high floor, but he's going to give you a massive weekly ceiling. And against this zone defense, I like Godwin quite a bit.
Tags, you named two of my favorites earlier, Mike Williams and Odell Beckham for GPP. But my number one favorite for GPP is Cortland Sutton going up against Houston. The secondary hasn't been great. Drew Lock actually looked okay. They're going to have to pass the ball a ton. If Sutton gets in the end zone two more times, would it surprise either of you?
Cortland Sutton's playing like Calvin Johnson.
He's amazing, man. He's got 900 yards already.
No, he's showing he's quarterback proof. He needs more targets, though. Like, Drew Lock, get on that, dude.
You're right.
You got a throwing touchdown too. maybe should be their quarterback. It's really just the quarterback problem with Sutton more than anything else, and the targets have basically been there. But they've shown the willingness to kind of use him in a bunch of different ways too. He does have a couple rushes over the last couple of weeks. So I don't mind it. It's just the team is so bad. That's where I really struggle with guys like that, with everything else around them looks so bad.
I also want to use Diggs against Detroit. I think he's got some upside as well. Let's go to the running back position. Doug, you're first this time.
We mentioned a ton of running backs, but actually, in the end, is, you know, can only roster three. So I think I probably mentioned a bunch of mine. I still don't mind Nick Chubb here. He's home favorite. Cincinnati's pretty bad. I know with Kareem Hunt around, it's cut into some of the usage, but he still has some big carry games under his belt. And the Pittsburgh game was just a tough defense. So he has 20 carry plus 4 target sort of like floor to me. I think that's still how they want to use him. And they use Chubb and Hunt on the field together enough that the snap counts don't really one-to-one translate in terms of like it's not like a one or the other situation. So I still think there's a lot of upside for Chubb here. And I think that people are down on him because Kareem Hunt has just been around, and that makes sense. But I think I still think that the Browns in a perfect scenario want to give him the ball like 24 times, and he has huge playability, and this is a good matchup here. So I think the industry's a little down on him, and I think he has plenty of upside.
Big playability and multiple touchdown upside. He's only had one good matchup all season against Miami, and yeah, he was great, 164 yards.
It's been so, I get that like Baker and the Browns, and it's easy to dump on them, and I get it, but the defensive run that they've had this season, they basically played like every top 10 DVOA team in defense this season, and it's really crazy. It can go a little too far on the heat. Like they've had a really, really, really tough defensive matchup system seen this year in a way that like the Eagles have kind of had the same thing, but those two teams have really just been run through the ringer on defense, and this is just not one of those matchups.
It's funny you brought up Chubb because I was going to do the same type of thing. So if you used Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson last week, you won money. I'm going to use Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in a couple lineups.
I did that in cash 2 weeks ago against the Dolphins. That was our cash stack. We stacked Baker, Chubb, and Kareem Hunt, and it was another one that had very low ownership and worked out. And so I actually don't mind that. I think there's upside. If Hunt gets enough in the receiving game, that I think that's not even the worst cash game thing.
If they combine for 200 total yards and 3 touchdowns, it could definitely happen.
Yeah, and I think there's a scenario where that game script can play out.
Yep. All right, Tags, who do you have at GPP for running back? Do you have a couple names?
Yeah, Chubb is like one of my tops. This is a game where he could explode. It could be like that 150 yards, 2 touchdown type game. And like people are like, oh, I didn't want to play Derrick Henry because he didn't catch passes. There were certain smash spots on a schedule, and I played Henry against the Jags. This is one of those games for Chubb. The Bengals are a team that misses so many tackles. They just can't tackle very well. And the duo of Chubb and Hunt has broken more tackles than any other running back duo in the league. There's nothing not to like here with Chubb. He's going to break a couple long runs. He's probably going to find the end zone multiple times. You're paying up for him at 8K, so you're going to get lower ownership because people are going to go to Fournette. They're going to go to Kamara. There's a lot of other guys in that range that people are going to go to, and they're making you pay for Chubb. So I love that call. Aaron Jones at 6,700, phenomenal play. And then Alexander Mattison at 4,500. I think whether or not, even if Dalvin Cook plays, I think Madison's a play.
I'm going to go Benny Snell. I'm going to remind you guys, I'm using Devontae Freeman in 100% of GPP lineups. If he busts, I'm losing a bunch of money because I'm using Freeman in every single lineup, cash and GPP this week. And I want to remind you about Sonny Michel. I think he's got 2-3 touchdown upside, 150 plus yards as a possibility against Kansas City's horrendous run defense. Let's go quarterback now, and then we'll give our lock of the week and our GPP game stack of the week. So quarterback Tags, you're first.
I have Josh Allen there at 6,200. I mean, I don't like him, but he's one of those guys that when I put in my rankings this week, I'm lower than the consensus on him. But when I put him in there, he's like one of those guys I worry about, you know, like the ones that you rank and you're like, I feel like the odds are stacked against him here, but the guy just keeps overcoming those. And I liked him last week against Dallas. I felt like it was a better matchup for him. I don't like him against Baltimore, but in terms of like what he offers from a fantasy standpoint with his mobility and the way that he uses his legs, the way he can scramble, it's possible that he pans out, but I'm not super excited. But I want to bring up Kirk Cousins. And the reason I say Cousins is because if Dalvin Cook's limited or not playing or whatever the case is, they're probably going to get Adam Thielen back this week. We could see them use Cousins a bit more against Detroit. And knowing he's priced at 6,700, again, he's another one that I would be surprised if he's more than like 2% owned.
I love that one. Yep, we've got him at 2.1% owned. You're right on the money. At least on FanDuel, that's what he's at. On DraftKings, he's at 3.9 is our projected ownership. So, okay, Doug, quarterback, who do you have?
Gardner Minshew, baby. Back under the saddle.
I was going to say him, yeah.
Look, it's not a great matchup, but when he's been out there, I always default to running quarterbacks. I want quarterbacks that run, and I really struggle to put just only passers into my cat, and really into almost any scenario. I just don't think it provides you the requisite amount of upside. You just need so much to go right. Minshew, 48, 28, 34 rushing yards in the 3 starts. Didn't get out there before, and they just struggled to run the ball, and I think will again. I think they're just going to need to throw, and he's just coming very cheap. So basically every quarterback outside of Lamar Jackson is a GPP consideration for me. Like, he's just the only cash game quarterback, and then it's just making cases for the other guys. Minshew, from a points per dollar standpoint, though, at 6,600 on FanDuel, I have him as the second best points per dollar option. Not raw points projection, but just points per dollar. Really like Minshew here.
I think there's a few good ones. Kyler Murray just put up 27 fantasy points against San Francisco. Like, Pittsburgh's a hard matchup. It's not as hard as San Francisco. Kyler Murray could absolutely go off. No one's going to use him. I love Fitzpatrick and Tannehill this week, obviously. Sam Darnold. But my favorite one here, and this is going to roll into the game stacks, it's Baker Mayfield going up against Cincinnati. I'm going to use Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, and then roll it back around because, Tags, you mentioned Greedy Williams is likely going to be out. I could absolutely see somebody from Cincinnati going off and making this a game that becomes a shootout. Cincinnati plays an up-tempo style. Baker Mayfield could have a big game, even injured against Cincinnati. I don't think anybody is going to use the Cleveland game stack.
I was going to use that as my game stack this week.
Oh, sorry, man.
No, I was going to say Baker, Chubb, Odell, and then come back on the other side and grab Tyler Boyd.
I like that a lot, man. Okay, do you have another game stack you want to give, or you want me to find another one?
Oh, that's tough, man. I think we should just stick with it. We both agreed on it. Let's just say that it's a good stack.
Sounds good, buddy. All right. Who do you have for us, Doug?
Yeah, I think I don't mind game stacking. Well, game stacking or just team stacking. I could go the Jameis route again here. This price didn't come up because he had really just didn't do anything last week. The weather's good. This time of the year, it actually makes sense to just kind of make sure you're getting some, like, locking in some good warm weather. And, like, if you're outside of a dome, I think that actually does make sense. I think the price is down. He was just on 300 plus yards and touchdowns on lock. Now, multiple interceptions too, and those are usually one begets the other for him. He throws for a lot of yards because they have to, because they're playing catch up. But I really like the price on him. And I agree with what you had said before about having to just do the your turn, my turn thing with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But I think it just offers you nice lineup builds when you're able to do it that way. And if you're going, like, if you think it gets into a shootout, even getting a chalky Jack Doyle here against that going the other way is fine by me. I think that's a fine place to eat the chalk and just say that has a lot of upside to it. So I like Jameis, just for me, is sort of like a weekly GPP play because few other quarterbacks have the sort of like volume upside that he has. And he just has two clear guys you can stack with him.
Agree. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, we're going to go cash lock of the week. Doug, you get to start us. I get to go after you, and I can't choose the same guy, and then Tags, you're next.
Oh, I get to go first, so I get to say Lamar. Thank goodness, because I'll say Lamar Jackson. I know it's a cop-out, but he's just so far above the rest of the group.
Nah, that's perfectly fine. You guys know I'm going Devonta Freeman, right? I've already made it clear. Tags, who are you taking?
I'm going to go let's go Julian Edelman at 7,100.
All right. I thought you were going to go Jack Doyle, man. Jack Doyle would have been my second, and then I would have taken Lamar Jackson third.
I debated it, honestly. I really did, but I felt like I need to move off McCaffrey and like give another lock. So it's just I did that last week, by the way. I did Devontae Adams. Someone gave me crap about that, but I said Devontae Adams if not McCaffrey. So Adams panned out, but I'd say Julian Edelman at 71.
Let me ask you guys a question. Dalvin Cook's ruled out. Is Alexander Mattison definitely your number one lock?
100%.
Oh yeah.
He'll be like 95% on.
Yeah. Number one lock of the year.
And he'd actually be a great GBP fade at that point because his ownership will be so high. Like, great. You could take this with the spirits intended because it's like it would not feel good and you would not want to do it. You wouldn't want to be on 100% fade of this guy, but you would, the ownership at that point will be so high that you'll have to have a real conversation to say, what equity do I bring into this by just being one of the 10% of people that don't have him, right? And so that at that point, but yeah, he'd be a 95% owned cash game play, maybe higher. We'd be seeing as high, you know, outside of people who didn't update their dummy lineups. I think he'd be out there. That'd be his ownership in cash.
Doug, did you have one more name you wanted to give before we end the show?
I was actually going to say Edelman.
Okay, sounds good. All right, guys. Well, that's all for today's show. Doug, as always, it's a pleasure having you on. Thanks for taking the time.
Guys, thanks so much.
All right, I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Pristine Auction. Guys, it's time to shop for the people you love in your life that love sports, and Pristine Auction is the perfect place to do it. Sign up with our registration code, FANTASYPROS, all one word. That's going to get you $5 off, and tell them that we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com, PRISTINE, auction.com. And also Sparlay, guys, $25,000 grand prize. No entry fees. You can't even pay money. They don't let you. $25,000 grand prize this month. Sign up at playsparlay.com. And don't forget to invite your friends. It's going to give you a big advantage in the competition. And also BetMGM. Don't forget to take advantage of this incredible opportunity to place a $1 bet on Tom Brady completing at least one pass. If you win that bet, and you're going to, you're going to get $100 in free bets. Again, you need to be new to BetMGM to take advantage of this. And you need to be located in New Jersey when making the bet. You don't need to live in New Jersey, but you need to be there when you make the bet. go to bettingpros.com/Brady or visit betmgm.com for the full list of terms and conditions. And also thanks to Grammarly. You can go to grammarly.com/fantasypros for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. Again, that's grammarly.com/fantasypros for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. And Doug's on Twitter at Doug Norrie. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and Tags is at Mike Taglier NFL. For Doug Norrie and Mike Taglier, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.